This morning's scripture comes from John 6, verses 35 to 40. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The word of the Lord. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for calling us into your presence, for adorning and blessing your table, and for inviting us to be a part of your community at your table. And so, Jesus, this morning, open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to turn our eyes to you, and may we experience the things of this life growing dim as the light of your glory directs our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue this morning the I Ams of Jesus this season of Lent, as we come to this statement of his defining who he is, "I am the bread of life," I want us to kind of focus in on this place this morning, this spot where we come to once a month at the beginning of the month, and I want to encourage it to be more than rote, something we do the first Sunday of the month. I want us to be reminded when we share Holy Communion, Jesus is actually strengthening the faith that is already present in our lives. I want us to consider deeper today what it means when we come to this table so that it will become a means and a place where our faith is strengthened and renewed. So when we pray the prayer, "Lord, increase my faith," he does it by means. One of those means is Holy Communion. Others are prayer and study, fellowship, worship. But it's definitely a means that he uses. And when we see these gifts to strengthen faith, we will expect to grow when we meet with the Lord here. It's more than just taking a physical piece of bread and the juice and sharing in community that way. Jesus is here, ready to meet with you and I today. So how are we to come in order to use this means of God to build up our faith today? Many may have come here for years and never even thought of it that way because it's what we do. It's what we do in the church. But I hope you come with eagerness today. In fact, the Christian life is God's work in which we become involved, and it can so easily get flipped around where the challenge is we get so caught up in our involvement that we lose sight of what God is doing. For example, in conversion, we know that from Ephesians 2:8 that salvation is the gift of God by grace, not so that it's not anything that I do. I receive what he has offered, and in receiving that gift, we recognize that Jesus saves. As I shared this morning, that would be a good place for an amen. All right. Amen. Of course, if you are in you and I, if we are people of faith, we are obviously involved. But if we just think our response is all there is, we lose sight of the fact it is God who does the work in salvation. And so this is clear even in baptism as well as the Lord's Supper. Baptism being God's sign and seal of bringing a person to salvation and escaping things that are out of our hands, sin and death. We can't do that on our own, but through recognizing the faith that God has put in us, we give an outward sign at our baptism wanting to seal that deal, if you will, recognizing that God has taken us from sin and death. And so he speaks the promise of the gospel in our baptism. Now back to this table today. This table of the Lord, we gather around it, and it's important that we do. In fact, we remember the Lord's death here. We proclaim the Lord's death here. And outside of being people of faith, in order to stand at a table and proclaim someone's death almost sounds kind of morbid. But in faith, we proclaim it because of what it means. Because of His death, we do not have to face death. Because of His death, we have life eternal. And so we come to this table expecting that we are doing something and giving something and bringing something, and we are. But the reality is we need to raise the question today, what is Christ doing at this table even today? What is Christ doing here? We need to see that although you and I are communing with one another in fellowship, when we come here to receive, which is a wonderful, blessed thing that only He can bring about, more importantly, we are communing with Christ at this table. And so when we think that way, we need to have a new anticipation in. We need to have a joy when we come to receive what He alone can offer us. We need to be re-reminded that it's more than just a physical piece of bread or a wafer, wine or juice, normal elements that He has made extraordinary by His presence. So consider with me three things, if you will, today that occur. Not that I've made up, but that occur at this table and in fact are in our liturgy. Number one, Christ invites you. Christ invites you. Now, I get to be a mouthpiece, if you will, and I'm privileged to stand up here and to speak the words of Christ, but I cannot invite you to this table because it's not my table. I am blessed and honored to stand in a place and speak the very words that Christ spoke so many years ago, but it's more than a remembrance because if we believe by faith, we come to this table to meet with Jesus Christ. He is here. And so He is here now to receive you. We come because He has something to offer you and I here at this table today. We are His guests. And so we come. And so who should come? Repentant sinners, of which I am grateful to be one today. If someone is living in known sin, they should not come. And those who think they should save themselves should not. And those who know they need a Savior and see a need to turn from what is wrong, this is your table. This is my table. Not those who see no need to repent or don't think they need a Savior or who have never repented. It's not a table for them, but it's a table for us today. Secondly, Christ speaks to you. Christ invites you. But Christ speaks to you. There have been many times, obviously, throughout the years that I've received communion and I've shared communion, and I can say with all honesty and integrity, sometimes I show up and Jesus meets me in a way I never saw coming. And the very next time, it may be totally different, and I may think of something or experience something that wasn't there the last time that I saw. And so His word to you today may not even be on my radar. I may not even have an idea of what He's speaking to you or leading you into, but praise God, when you come in faith, He speaks to you at this table. And so we tune ourselves to hear. So first of all, He invites you. Secondly, He speaks to you, telling you that this is His body for you. Not just His body in general terms. This is Christ's body for you. This is Christ's blood for you. This is His blood and body broken, spilled, and poured out for you today. I repeat Jesus' words, as I said a moment ago, so you will understand. He's saying these words to you today, even now, right in this moment. It's not the same communion you had experienced with Him the first Sunday a month ago. If it is, it's not dynamic, it's not real, it's intellectual. But this is a place where we literally come and meet the risen Christ today. And so as you take the bread and you receive this cup today, Jesus is saying there is forgiveness and there is life for you. Jesus is saying there is strength for you. Jesus is saying today that here is why my body has been given and my blood has been shed. It is for you. And so when you take it, you receive it, and you say, whether out loud or in your heart or somewhere, it's for me. This is mine. He has given this for me. And so thirdly, Christ feeds you. First of all, Christ invites you. Christ speaks to you. And Christ feeds you at this table. Now, this is all very simple, and it's needful that we hear it anew, because we come to a supper to be fed. Now, if you come to this supper to be fed with a little piece of bread and you walk away so stuffed that you can't move, somebody else has been left out. And I think Paul speaks of that somewhere. That's not the point. The point actually is that we come to where a small piece of bread or a wafer that we receive obviously cannot fill you up. And so the question is raised, where is the meal? Well, Christ is the meal. The bread is thus the reminder that the bread in this life that's made from wheat or another grain of some sort will temporarily keep me sustained and filled up physically, but it can never satisfy me eternally, forever. Christ can and always will. Probably another good place for an amen. When we come here, we are nourished by Christ, not the wafer or the bread or even the wine or juice. But the point is that the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is the very food that will nourish your soul and my soul for all eternity. And so how is it that the body and blood of Jesus feeds us? Well, I said last week, as we were considering Jesus' statement of "I am the good shepherd, where by faith I trust Jesus' sacrifice for me has given me his righteousness," a big word imputed. It's been poured into me because of faith, I believe, and so I walk in that righteousness. God counts it as my own, but honestly, I recognize this morning as we come to this table, all of our Christian lives are a work in process, to say the least. We are on that journey together, but we may not all be in the same place. And so I'm given the bread, and he says, "And this is my body, this is my complete obedience that is given to you." Because he was completely obedient to the cross and beyond, he can be the one that says that. This is my body for you. If you come here today to this table feeling that you're 3 days behind, and things are piled up, and they're just getting more and more piled up, and I'll never catch up, and things will never be as they should, then Christ comes to you at this table, and he says, "I will write over your life, it is finished." Meaning, God accepts you because Christ has finished his work, not the other way around. And when we live in that posture, he accepts me today because of what he has accomplished for me, and not the other way around. So let's consider the cup this morning. I come to the table both righteous because of Christ in me, and I'm still the one who has sinned this week because of my flesh. And then I'm given the cup of Christ, and he says, "Drink. This is the blood of my body poured out for the forgiveness of sin, of your sin, of my sin. And this should strengthen me and my soul to the fact that God loves me even in my inadequacies." God loves me. God loves you even in the midst of your inadequacies. Christ heals me as the Savior who embraces me, and there is life for me in all of my shortcomings in Christ Jesus. And so he embraces us at this table, and he says, "I forgive you." You are forgiven. And there is no other table like this in this world. Nowhere else. We come to this table to receive that forgiveness. And sometimes making good use of this table is the best way to be assured and to grow in your faith. It's the very place where the Holy Spirit nurtures you in the gifts of spiritual life. And it's the very place that he assures us when we draw near with hungry hearts that we are his own. In fact, it's the very place where we come to receive bread and juice and hear the word of Christ. We come, we realize that it's not just The Lord's, or excuse me, it's not just the disciples long ago who heard these words, as if we're just repeating what was written in Scripture, and so it's a remembrance, though it is. In fact, a lot of tables you'll find in churches and places of worship will have that on the front, in remembrance of me. And we do come to do that. But it's got to be so much more than a remembrance, because it's for us today in this very moment. It's the very place today that you know that God loves you. It's the very place today where you find peace of conscience and joy in the Holy Spirit, because He is here. And it's a place where you are strengthened for anything and everything you will go out and face this week, not knowing what you will go out and face this week. Because the world wants to ascribe medications and meditations and all other kinds of meds in order to correct that. And there's only one thing that can truly bring peace and strength that we need, and it's at this table. And it's the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Someone once noted to their pastor as they were coming to the table to receive communion and took him aside and said, "Every time I come to the Lord's table, Satan talks to me, and I'm so condemned." And the pastor took them aside and replied, "I want you to do this. From now on, every time forward, when you come to this table, I want you to think of the Lord's table for the rest of your life like this, knowing that Jesus, your risen Savior, in the kindest of possible ways, lays His hand upon your shoulder, and He is saying, 'My blood was shed for you. You are forgiven.' And because of that, Satan will flee from you every time." See, it's through His obedient, atoning death, giving for all of you and I today, that Jesus offers hope and forgiveness. And therefore, let us make good use of this table today. Not as we go through some religious ritual or some rote exercise, but as we come and literally experience the risen Christ in this place together as a community today. The one who said, "I am the bread of life." And so we have to ask, how? How do we make good use, as Christ, the bread of life, is doing so much for us in this place? First of all, He is inviting us. Second of all, He is speaking to us through His word. And then thirdly, as I shared, He is feeding us spiritually in a way, the only one who can do it in a way where we will not be hungry for other things to fill that place in our spirit by His Holy Spirit. So how do we get the most out of this wonderful gift of the bread of life today? Well, John speaks to it, I believe, in the scripture that we heard. The whole chapter speaks a lot of being the bread of life. In fact, it opens with that miracle of Jesus feeding thousands on a hillside, and then He does this other just kind of minor miracle of walking across water, and then He comes back to speak about who He really is to His disciples as well as the religious leaders in the church. I am the bread of life. But the question this chapter raises is, were these words of Jesus set before or after the Lord's Supper? Now, it's clear if you look close, these words were spoken well before the Lord initiated His supper in the upper room before He was to go to the cross. And why is that important? Well, it's very important because Jesus spoke these words when to disciples who heard these words, not knowing what the Last Supper would be, implying, therefore, it's not primarily about the Lord's table, though it alludes to it. When He's speaking these words, He's alluding to something that's coming, and it's important because in verse 53, Jesus later goes on and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood," which sounds like communion, "you have no life in you," which would imply that when we eat the bread and take the juice, that eternal life comes from taking the Lord's Supper, and that's an error. It's not true. Because Jesus specifically says in Scripture that faith in Jesus, not taking the elements, is what brings eternal life. And so in verse 47, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." in Jesus Christ. What it's about is those who believe and those who feed on Jesus Christ. Colin Brown, Pastor Colin Brown, puts it this way: John 6 is not about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is about what is described in John 6. In other words, the Lord's Supper is not the only place where you can do what is described in John 6. But the Lord's Supper is a great place to do what is described in John 6. To eat, to consume, to be filled with the living bread of life. But the Lord's Supper, being that great place, raises a question. What is described there that we can do? First of all, at the table, you can believe in Jesus Christ. He is the one in verse 35 and 47 that once again said, "I am the living bread. I am the bread of life." Coming to the table by faith brings a living experience with the living Christ. So Christ is here, even now, as we anticipate coming together as a community of faith. He is in this place even now, and He is inviting you to commune with Him. And when you come, believe you are drawing near to Him in faith. So when you come to maximize all that Jesus lays before us here in this table, first of all, you come with faith. Secondly, you come engaged. And next, you come in Jesus' name and in His promises, and He will meet you here every time. And then what else can we do at this table? You can feed on Christ. But as Pastor Colin alludes to, this isn't the only place we feed on Christ, but it's a wonderful place to come and to meet Him. At the table, Jesus calls us to spiritually feed on Him in a way that we do not feed on Him otherwise. Verses 49 through 59 in chapter 6, I would encourage you in your quiet time to take time to look at and look through sometime as Jesus says time and time again, "Eat, feed, receive the bread of life, which is Christ alone." And by believing on Christ, we're doing so much more than taking a physical piece of bread. Faith feeds on Christ. It's more than a remembrance, but we presently feed on Jesus and commune with Jesus, and we share fellowship with Jesus in that moment that you accept and receive His invitation. It's a new feeding and a new fellowship and a new experience every time that we come. And so it reminds us today that Christ is my strength, my hope, my joy, my peace, my life, my comfort. Christ is my presence. And so something happens, and I cannot claim to explain it to you or to say that I completely or even partially at times understand it, but I trust in faith every time I receive at this table, I am strengthened in ways like nothing else when I come to the table to feed on my Lord. And so we draw near Him to come in faith and finding that this good that He speaks of is here waiting for us. And so, church, as you come, and momentarily, as you come to this table today, you believe on Christ. You feed on Christ. And it's more than just a doctrinal statement or a religious exercise that we do. We literally share fellowship with the living Savior when we come to this table this Lenten season, who is the bread of life. He is the promised one. And the promise of Jesus is not that you will get eternal life when you die, though that's true. But the scripture says it this way in verse 47, "I tell you the truth, he, she who believes has, not will have, eternal life." And so you have eternal life even now in this moment. If your life ends this week, you will live because Christ lives in you. And the life that Christ gives never dies. And so before we come, let me share these wonderful words of Jesus and let them be for us today. As we receive all that He has, He says simply, "Here is the bread from heaven that a man or woman may eat and not die." Christ is yours today. Verse 51, "If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever." Verse 57, "The one who feeds on me will live because of me." And verse 58, "He who feeds on the bread will live forever. And so simply as you come today, go away from this table knowing Jesus is saying, go live. Go live. Christ died for you. Christ is for you. Christ is with you. Christ is in you. The one who gives his life lives to keep you, and he will nourish your soul even to eternal life. Let's pray. O Lord, for all that is ours in Christ, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise. For that's all we can do when we consider the magnitude of your offering to us. You invite us, you speak to us, you feed us, and so we come to receive. Now feed our souls as you have fed us from your word, and nourish us around the table. For your name's sake, we simply ask in Jesus' name. Amen.